Hi again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 498. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're free, including the postage and handling. We have, I've got a real great message for you tonight. Some good expositions on it. We've got some letters. And we're going to take up with a letter that we are halfway through on the last message. And I've got some beautiful music, but right now, and very scriptural music, right now, let's go before the Lord. Lord, anoint this program. Give us the very things from your word that we need to stand another day, one day at a time. Thank God that we don't have to look so far into the future and to somehow generate enough of your word to last from now until the end of time, until the time we go out to meet you. Because you plainly have instructed us to take it one day at a time, lest we be discouraged, because we don't know that the minute that we would throw in the towel, that would be the very day that we're going out to meet you. And so therefore, Father, give us the message we need today that people will hide in their heart, because, you know, carrying a Bible won't do it. We need to study the Bible, but we need to hide what we study in our heart in order to retain the power that we need. And we know that those that seek shall receive power. Those that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we will have power, your power within us, to continue on to the end. For only those that continue to the end shall be saved. Lord, rebuke every force in the universe that is against you, your word, your Son, and which covers his entire body, which means us. Lord, we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, that souls may be saved and the church strengthened, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now, the first Noel. This is a beautiful song sung by Josh Groban, G-R-O-B-A-N, and Faith Hill, the first Noel.
Into the earth it gave great light.
Yeah, remember those names. That was the first Noel, and that's Josh Groban, G-R-O-B-A-N, and Faith Hill. Those are two names to remember. They're really, that's beautiful singing, beautiful arrangements. Amen?
Amen.
And a very spiritual song. Glory to God. We have another spiritual song this evening. I'm going to be singing for you, I Believe, at the end of the program, so don't tune me out, okay? Now, we have a continuation of a letter that we were reading the other day, and there's a lot of questions regarding the baptism of the Holy Spirit, also in another letter, and it's just a real good opportunity for me to explain it, because there's a lot of people that don't know why they're receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and why it's so important. Then we have some scriptures from the fifth chapter of Ephesians. And then there's a scripture that I'm going to be talking about in 1 John 5:3, which is, quote, "For this is the love of God." So many people think they have love. Well, if you have love, then that we keep his commands. His commandments, and his commandments are not grievous at all to be able to keep, especially when, of course, when you have the Spirit of God in you. Okay, let's begin with the continuation of this letter.
If this verse, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, really was from him, Jesus, then why would the disciples disobey
well, you're not,
him?
Okay, well, we have to explain that because somebody stated that there is a scripture in the book of Matthew that tells Jesus says to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then in the book of Acts, it shows people baptizing people in the name of Jesus. And they say they're trying to say that the Jesuits included that what the Lord said in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that was wrong. That's what she's saying. And it's not wrong. Because in the book of Acts, they were baptizing Jews. And the Jews always baptized in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit. But now they were saying in the book of Acts, be baptized in the name of Jesus. Also is what it is. Because, you know, if you just baptize in the name of Jesus, Jesus never denied that he was the Father. And he never denied that he was the Holy Spirit as well. But it is not blasphemy for him to say, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When they came to him and stated, show us the Father, he said, have I been so long with you that you don't know me? I'm the Father. He also said, I am the resurrection and the life. That means he's the Holy Spirit. And he said he would send the Comforter to you. And the Bible says that he is the life-giving Spirit, the quickening Spirit, or the Spirit that gives you life. So God, Jesus is the fullness of the entire triune Godhead. So why would he not have you baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Now, the Jews were not familiar with baptizing in the name of Jesus. So they says, okay, now baptize also in the name of Jesus. Because they were going to baptize in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit anyway, no matter what you said, or no matter what kind of heresy is going around then or now. So baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I've always done that. I've always baptized people in the triune Godhead. And I want people, Jesus was a man, but he had the fullness of the Godhead in him. He had the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, so therefore he became the Father. He said, I am the Almighty in the book of Revelations. So he is the Almighty God. In the book of Isaiah, it stated that he was the Almighty. And it stated in the beginning that he is the Father. Emmanuel, God with us. So if he's God and he tells you that baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then do that, okay? Because you're living in a different culture here in the United States. Most of the people here in the United States don't even know what the Bible says. You have to be, I believe, a Middle Eastern type person to be able to really thoroughly know the scriptures. because they have idioms there that you don't know anything about, just like they have idioms here in the United States of he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Of course that isn't true. It's just an idiom saying he was born rich, wealthy, and that he is a person that is privileged. Some people are born privileged. They live in splendor. They live in beautiful homes. They never worry about paying a bill. That isn't the way I was raised. I had to go out and support my mother and my two brothers. And I enjoyed it because I didn't like being in the house at all, and I loved working. And I don't suggest that to anybody today because it's a different world today than it was back when I was doing that at the age of around 8, 9, 10 years old. And ever since then, I've been working, and I love to work. Doesn't bother me a bit. But I always wanted to make sure that my children never had to be underprivileged. Sometimes I'd go to school with the soles of my shoes flapping, and the snow would get underneath there and make my socks wet and make my feet cold. And I never wanted my sons or my daughters to go through that sort of a life. Therefore, I don't want anybody in my church, because they all are my sons and daughters as well. And they're part of the body of Christ, if they're really of Christ. And I never want to see any of them go hungry. And I never, ever want to see any of them without shoes, clothes, or anything. We're privileged, those of us that are of the commonwealth of the kingdom of heaven. And it's just a wonderful thing to know that the Lord takes care of us so well. I don't know of anyone that starved in this church or anyone that went without clothing. If they're doing it, they're certainly not making it aware to me that they need anything, because we provide, the Lord provides everything for us. Mm-hmm. And it's my enjoyment to see people privileged as they are today. So anyway, this is what this woman is saying, that that must be the devil that placed that scripture in, what chapter was it?
Matthew 28, verse
the 20th 19. Chapter of Matthew, verse what?
19.
And do you have the scripture there?
Yes.
Read it.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father.
Why would the devil, the Antichrist church, tell everybody to go into all of the nations and preach the gospel? Mm-hmm. Why? Gee, you just figure that one out. That's just, Satan never tells you to preach the gospel. And Satan never tells you to honor the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so, you know, you think that you found something new in the book of Acts? I've known that ever since I got saved. Yeah, but I know what it means, because I'm Jewish myself. And I know John the Baptist was preaching the kingdom of heaven, and he was baptizing, and people stated, well, he says, are you the one? And he said, no. He says, I baptize with water, but he that cometh after me baptizes with the Holy Spirit, with fire, with power. Fire power. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what I received when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't have that power until that happened. And some people think that we're only supposed to be seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues. That is secondary. Of course, that's the sign that you have it, but that isn't the reason. I don't care if I ever speak in tongues again, even though the Bible does say there'll come a time when people's tongues will cease. Amen?
Amen.
And so tongues doesn't matter. In other words, there's a time will come when some people will not receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they'll live a powerless life. But if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have to keep all the commandments. And the Lord Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and who the fullness of the Godhead bodily says, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then, amen. Okay, and every time I do that, I feel the power of God come down upon me, and I know the power of God. I know the Holy Spirit. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I walk by the Spirit. I right by the Holy Spirit. Those aren't my words, they're the Lord's words, and I'm speaking by the Holy Spirit right now. Okay, now go ahead and read next.
Go ye therefore and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, let's continue with the... Now, that's a commandment. Now, I just read you something where it says in 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. So a lot of people say, well, you don't have any love, Tony. No, you don't. Because if you were keeping God's commandments, you would not be attacking the house of God. Okay, the Lord tells you to never attack God, his Son, Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, which is Spirit and life, and never attack his people. Touch not my anointed and do them no harm.
Amen.
Because if you do, you're going to learn a horrible lesson, one that you're not going to like. Because once God puts his hand down, that's it. Okay, now what else in the letter?
Isn't it strange that it is the only verse that speaks about the three persons in one like that?
Well, that's not strange at all to me. What's so strange about that? There's all kinds of scriptures that are not repeated over and over again in the Bible. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him, and he is the whole Word of God, so anyone that believes the entire Word of God shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the devil's trying to trick you into disbelieving that scripture. So don't perish, believe it, okay? No harm will come to you by baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but there will be harm come unto you if you are preaching, if you're baptizing only in the name of Jesus and ignoring the Father and the Holy Spirit. There was, I went to prison for the gospel. They railroaded me in on a false Internal Revenue Service charge. Many people had been railroaded by the IRS. And there was a whole thing on that while I was in prison. People were, so uptight at them that the whole nation was rising up against the thing that they're trying to frighten everybody. First of all, it's an illegal organization. Illegal. Mm-hmm. There was... one of the things, and so, but there's one man in there preaching that he would only baptize, he was a visiting, supposed to be minister, and he would baptize only in the name of Jesus. And so I told him not to do that because it's against the Bible. He says, well, you believe your way and I'll believe mine. And he died, he dropped dead. Okay, and then somebody came in to take his place and they baptized in the triune God. Okay, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So people that don't believe in the Lord, the whole Bible, those that believe on him, the whole Word of God, shall be saved. And those that doubt shall be damned. You don't believe in seeking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're damned. It doesn't make any difference. Who do you think you are, or who do you think you're going to be, or whatever you is, or whatever you ain't. You're damned. That's the way it is, folks. Okay, go ahead.
Isn't it Yeshua who taught the disciples to pray in his name and do things in his name?
Absolutely. I say, now I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Be baptized now. What's your first name or your last name? And they give it to me. I say, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I put them, completely submerge them in the water and bring them up. Amen. And the Holy Spirit comes down like a shower. Okay? Mm-hmm. And everything I pray, Lord, be healed. Or everybody, you people, be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Because the Bible says for us to do that. And you can, but the Lord said, be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, what are you going to do with that scripture? You're going to believe it or disbelieve it. And if you disbelieve it, you're damned. Okay, now what?
Because his name only is the one who has the authority because of his atonement.
Well, he has the atoning blood, yes, but he was a man. He said, I am the Son of Man. He was a man. He had to come to the world as a, not God, but as a man, so that he could have genuine human blood to shed for us. He had to show the world that it was possible to keep all the commandments of the Lord as a man, if you have the Spirit of God in you. And he didn't deny that he had the Spirit of God in him. And he didn't deny that he kept all of the commandments. And that's why the actual endorsement of that is that God raised him from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so God did it. God came into the world in him. It wasn't just only Jesus that went to the cross. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit were in him at the same time. And so God said, let us make man in our image. In our image. He didn't say in Jesus' image, but he said our image, didn't he?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So that entails the Father. He says, let us make man in our image. So that's plural. And so we don't deny that Jesus wasn't the only one present when they said our image. Now, the only one that had an image, God doesn't have an image. He's a spirit. The Father didn't have an image because the Bible says that God is a spirit. Amen?
Amen.
But Jesus is the only one. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit came into the world and allowed himself to be born as a baby, young boy. And he had to have his diapers changed, just like everybody. He in every way was made like unto us, so that he could have show everybody in the world where that say you can't be perfect, who is, and all this sort of lie, that he did keep all the commandments in a human body. When the devil saw that God came into the world as a man, he said, oh boy, I have destroyed human flesh before, and I'll destroy him. And so Satan was really after him a lot and tempted him in every way that there was. But the Lord never committed a sin once, never. And he was a man. And even though he was a man, he now, as a man, as our brother, the reason that he's our brother is because he's a human. And the Lord placed him, a human being, in the kingdom of heaven above everything. God said that he is the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God. What is wisdom? Wisdom is to get into the kingdom of heaven. And he's the only way, the only truthful way, the only life-giving way to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven is through Christ the man. Because he became perfect. Because not only did he have the power of God in him, but he did everything that the power of God in him told him to do. He said, the things that I say are not my own, but the things that I say, it's the Father speaking in me. And he said, if you go to a courtroom, if you're like me, if you let the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit live in you as I do, you don't even have to think of what you're going to say in court. The Lord will give you the words. I'll never forget in courtrooms that happened with me. In the courtroom, it was a bail hearing. They've had me in jail on so many false charges, it's unbelievable. And they said, the prosecuting attorney says, Mr. Alamo, is the government the devil? And I said, well, you know, government, men are of the devil. I said, just like I was before I got saved. I didn't even think what to say. I didn't know what they were going to ask me. I do interviews all the time. I have no idea what they're going to ask me. But the Holy Spirit fills me with the right things to say. And a lot of people think that's just great. And that'll happen to you, too, if you put God first above everything. Don't put male, female, mother, father, sister, brother, son, daughter, wife, husband, anybody before God or anything before God. That might make people feel itchy, especially if they got some loved one that they just L-U-V. They just love them so much they want everybody to know that I love you more than God. Well, if you do that, you'll die young, son. Amen?
Amen.
You will die young, lady. So the thing is that we are to seek the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Baptize, do exactly what the Bible says. God's not going to hurt you if you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But he may if you ignore the Father and put the Father down, which Jesus never did. He says, my Father and I are one.
Amen?
Amen. Whatever the Lord Father, my Father says, I do. Whatever I see him do, I do. Whatever he says, it's not me speaking, it's him in me. Okay, so God never put the Father down like you're doing. And God never put the Holy Spirit down. God is the Spirit. Father is the Spirit. And all those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit, in their spirit, and in truth, the Word of God, Jesus. In Jesus. Okay, we have to have Jesus. Jesus was a man, and He became the Holy Spirit. He became the life-giving Spirit, and He lives in all those that truly believe what He says. And He says, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So do it. And don't try to fight that, okay? And don't think that the Vatican would ever say, tell you to go into the entire world to speak to every language, every kindred, every type of person, and then baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you think that the devil would honor the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? You're a spiritual crackpot if you believe that. Then what?
I submit these thoughts to you.
What?
I submit these thoughts to you.
Well, I don't think. I put on the mind of Christ, and I let the Lord, the Bible, do the thinking for me. We're not supposed to think with our own carnal brain because it's made out of dirt. And so we have to put on the mind of Christ, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
Put on the mind of Christ. And the way you do that is just keep pumping your mind with the Word of God. Not anything else, entertainment or music or anything like that. Put on the mind of Christ, the whole mind of Christ. Okay, then what?
Joan told me you are a sincere man of God.
Yes, I am. Then what?
I just want to serve Him like you.
Well, then believe. Follow me as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ, is what Paul said. Amen?
Amen.
And you do that, you'll be all right. Then what?
If you want to know me more, Joan can tell you more, but you can phone me also because it's hard to write so much. We live near the Swiss border.
Okay, I'd love to call you, but there's, it's just my day is so filled, it's just hard for me to even, if I don't brush my teeth and take a shower before I come out into the office, I'm not going to be free. They hit me immediately with all fours, and there's a bunch of people that do that, and the phone's ringing off the hook. Okay, but go ahead.
We live near the Swiss border, near Mulhouse, Basel. God bless you, Marion.
Lord bless you, too, and praise thy. I pray that the Lord will give you the strength, the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to receive what I just said. Okay, and where's the next letter from?
From Lugazi, Uganda.
Okay.
Dear Evangelist Tony Alamo, I would like to write you this short letter to thank you very much for the program on Radio East Africa. At the same time, I request that you continue with the spirit of love and the service to the Lord.
Well, the spirit of love, that means we receive everything that the Lord says, because love is the keeping of His commandments. Amen?
Amen.
And so He tells us to seek the Lord, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If you don't, there's no love in you at all. There's no love of God in you if you just shun the Holy Spirit. Okay, then what?
The lives of many have been saved by you.
Mm-mm. By the Lord that I preach. Do you know that the Bible is the Lord? The Word of God is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
You have caused many people a heart of loving Jesus.
Well, I'm an instrument of the Lord, but I only use His words, not mine. Then what?
Not only that, but also increasing this love much more. Now Jesus is running in my heart, and also my club members. Please find it easy and great to continue serving as through this way. I am yours, N. Damal from Lugazi, Uganda.
Well, where's that one that I want you to read regarding the Holy Spirit?
This is...
Okay, well, go ahead and read that one then, too.
This one's from Los Angeles, California. Praise the Lord. This is Matthew. I thank God for showing this ministry to me. I have been strengthened in the Lord so much. I have been seeking the gift of speaking in tongues, but I have no success.
Why would you seek the gift of speaking in tongues? The gift is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power from on high, not speaking in tongues. I never sought to speak in tongues. I sought for the real thing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, just a sign, an outward sign of that you have it is that you speak in tongues. Maybe not again, but you will receive speaking in tongues the first time you receive it. But don't be seeking for the gift of tongues. Now, there's the gift of tongues and interpretations. So that's another thing, too. If you're speaking in tongues really from the Lord, you'll start speaking in tongues in a service, and all the time, if there's a time when the minister cannot speak, it's just that he stops, then there's somebody in the congregation that will stand up and start speaking in tongues, because it has to be a unison thing. And if they speak in tongues, then there's somebody, supposed to be somebody else in there for this to happen, that will interpret the things that nobody else understands, because they're speaking in the tongues of angels. And when that happens, that's the most thrilling thing. That's, I've had that happen when I was at the 500 room in Angelus Temple when Gladys Church was preaching in there. And Susie and I were sitting in there, and the Lord brought a message to me, and Susie looked at me. He was rebuking me because I was doing a promotion for the singer Rovan. I didn't want to do it, but Susie said it was of the Lord. Then she says, okay, now that you've got him in the doings, you got him a contract with RCA Victor Records, and he's going to be in the Ambassador Hotel and the London Palladium and all these different places. Now that's enough. You showed the people that you're not crazy, that you have this brain that is able to take an opera star during the time of the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and put them right on top. And I do have that capacity to do that because God gave me that kind of a brain and that kind of a talent. And so I says, well, you know, we have to keep going. He said, we've been invited by Major Riddle, Lee Fisher, and Rovan to go to see his opening night at the Dunes. And so immediately somebody stood up. I didn't know him. They didn't know me. And they said, listen to your wife. You know, go back into the ministry now, because you have done what your wife told you to do, that I told her to tell you to do. And whatever. And she looked at me with her eyebrows raised. And I thought, well, I mean, it could be to somebody else. And then all of a sudden, just that second, another person stood up and says, doubt not, it is to you. And oh my, and then I can't even remember everything he said. But this was the Lord, because I could feel his hand inside of me, his spirit just shaking my heart and my lungs. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't speak tongues there at all that day, but somebody had the gift of tongues and somebody had the gift of interpretations. But what I wanted was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, I used to work out with the weights. I didn't really want to be Mr. America, Mr. Universe, even though I could have at that time when I was young. But I wanted to be a power lifter. And I'm always for strength, health, and power. I wanted to be able to lift the biggest weights and everything. And to this day, I can still lift with my legs, not like Pat Robertson does. He exercises his ankles. But I can press 1,250 pounds all the way down and up. And so, I mean, that's the kind of person I am. And I'm 73 years old, even though the Lord told me I'm in my late 40s, for so far as strength and everything and sharpness of brain. Okay, so keep going.
Is it because God doesn't mean for some people to have it?
No, God wants everybody to have it. He wanted it so much. He wants it thousands of times more. He wants you to have it thousands of times more than you want to have it. You never should think, this is a person that's in our church in Los Angeles. I'm not in Los Angeles right now. God wants you to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit thousands of times more than you do. You want it, but what you have to do is seek it, and you have to keep the commandments. You have to really have love in you, just as 1 John 5:3 says. You have to believe. You can't believe something like that, that God just wants it for some people and not for others. He said it's for everyone. Amen?
Amen.
It's for you, it's for me, and it's for everybody in the future that wants it. So God will not withhold any good thing from any one of his people if they seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For this is the love of God. This is, what is love? Love is that we keep his commandments. And he goes on to say, John does, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not hard to keep. Just people have to organize their time during the day and figure, okay, I'm going to give so much for bodybuilding, so much for my health, I'm going to give so much for eating and so much for sleeping and so much for practicing whatever you do or working on your job, and I'm going to give a certain amount of time every day for not only seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but receiving it, and not tongues. You can receive, if you're seeking for the gift of tongues, to be able to speak in another tongue to where you can tell secrets that people, these people were telling secrets to me that nobody knew that I wanted to still stay in there because I love, I used to love the entertainment industry. And now I, what I do is, so I thought, oh God, if he's going to let me be in the entertainment industry and continue on. But these people that were speaking tongues and interpretations were saying, now go back to follow what your wife is telling you to do. Get back in the ministry. And I says, that's it, Sue. I mean, that's the second time that I got rebuked that time. And there's other times that the Holy Spirit came down and talked both to Sue and myself and said that those people in the Full Gospel Christian Businessmen's meeting over in Nashville, Tennessee, are going to one of these days know who Sue and I am. They're going to know it. Okay, then what? We're privileged because God really called us and chose us and gave us a special anointing that I don't believe anybody else on this earth has. Okay, then what else?
I have always thought that speaking in tongues is not a gift for everyone.
Well, it's for everyone. It depends on which gift you want, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or you want to, I would seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit rather than the gift of speaking in tongues. Okay, because you're going to speak in tongues at least once. I personally don't speak in tongues that much. I am so busy during the day. And sometimes when there's something the Lord is dealing with me, I'll speak in tongues. But I've never really been in a congregation where the Lord hit me with tongues, where there was an interpreter there. And so you're not supposed to speak in tongues in church where people are unsaved in there, unless there be an interpreter there. Because if there's an interpreter there, the interpreter, the tongues, and the interpretation will come down and rattle that unsaved person because they'll be telling people of something that they never knew. Susie used to witness to Rabbi Sonderling in Los Angeles in a synagogue. She was very young at the time, and she'd go in and talk to him about the Lord, but she'd do it very cunningly. She just loves the Jewish people because she herself was Jewish. And one time when she was in there, she started speaking in tongues, and she was speaking in Hebrew. And the old rabbi was saying, no, no, daughter, no, no, please stop saying what you're saying. Daughter, quit. And so after she stopped speaking in tongues, she said, what did I say? And she said, I don't understand what I said, what I was saying. And she says, I know, dear, I know you wouldn't understand what it is, but it's God, it's God. And she said she kept cornering him, just asking him, begging him to tell her what it was that she was saying, because she didn't know, she doesn't know how to speak Hebrew. And finally, she wore him down and said, okay, sister, she says, One day they were marching us on the Bataan Death March in Bataan, and I looked up and I saw Moses standing on a hill, and he had the staff in his hand and his hair was blowing in the wind up there, and right behind him I saw the cross, a big cross, and I saw the Messiah dying on that cross. Whoa! That gives me shivers and goose pimples, doesn't it, you?
Amen.
Okay, that's the Holy Spirit, my friend. That is the Holy Spirit, where Susie told him what he had seen and that he had never told anybody else on the face of this earth. And he knew that he couldn't have possibly known that it had to be God by the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues through her. That's the gift of tongues. But she had the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well. And so she was telling him something that he had, in a language that he knew she didn't speak, that he had never told anybody before. And so the Lord in his mercy before this rabbi, this old rabbi died, showed him the power of God, and the Holy Spirit revealed secrets that he had never told anybody to him. And he was floored. He was absolutely floored And she says, then you know that Jesus is the Messiah. And he said, yes, 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 yes. And she says, well, then why don't you tell your congregation? Why don't you tell the fellow Jews? Because this would be mercy on your part to tell them they have to receive him or they're going to hell. He said, I just can't fight them. I just can't fight them, daughter. I can't fight them. And so he died and went to hell. So people that doubt, they think that, well, this every, you know, you live a humdrum everyday life that just goes on and on, and you don't know the supernatural realm, my friends. You don't know the supernatural realms because you doubt it. And if you doubt the word of God, then you're damned. And so if you doubt the word of God, you're not going to receive anything. By faith, you're saved. By faith, you're healed. By faith, you receive these gifts. The gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretations, the gift to cast out devils, the gift to raise the dead. You think that's impossible, then you're damned. Because the Lord says that you will receive these gifts. The gifts to lay hands on people and they shall recover, to lay hands on blind eyes and they shall open, the deaf ears shall open up. Now, we do those things. I've actually laid hands on a man that was dead. A trailer crushed him, and they lifted up the trailer and pulled him out of there, and he was dead. And they called me. I was in one of the bungalows over at the number 5 property in Los Angeles. And I went down there. I figured, well, they said he's dead. And I said, well, there's no hurry. So I just, combed my hair and brushed my teeth and went down to the place. The site was near the highway, Sierra Highway. Went over and prayed for him. I listened to him. I felt his pulse. There was no pulse, nothing. It was just gone. So I said, Father God, this would be a horrible thing for the people at the signal, because they were saying all kinds of false things about us, and they'd probably say that we did something to the man to make him die. And I said, Father, you know, we're receiving so much persecution now, don't let this man stay dead. Raise him up. Raise him up, Father, as a favor to me and for your glory, and we'll give you all the glory. And so I had all the brothers lay hands on him, and I did myself, and I says, in the name of Jesus, rise up. And he got up. He said, what's everybody standing around here gawking at me for? And they said, well, because you were dead. He says, get out of here, I wasn't dead. And the guy left the church about 3 days later. Do you believe that?
No.
Unbelievable. Well, he couldn't believe he was dead because he felt fit as a fiddle. But it's unbelievable. So I've witnessed the dead being raised, and I've witnessed so many healings. I could never remember them all. Thousands and thousands of healings. But we don't make a three-ring circus out of that over here. We don't, get on TV and tell people run up and down the aisles or anything like that. I don't tell them to do that. I just say, okay, you feel that? And they say, absolutely. They get up and they're fine. Actually, people that come in that can't even talk because they've got laryngitis, and, you know, we have a secretary, Sally, and she couldn't talk. And so I went over and laid hands on her, and she started talking like a magpie, amen? Yeah. You'd hear everything she said. And bigger things than that, I mean, so many things, it's unreal. Okay, let's finish with this man.
People have been pushing me to get it.
Well, no one should push a person to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That would irritate me to no end. And I really don't like people in my church to push people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit or any gift. That would, you know, like a person, if somebody did that to me, I that would turn me against wanting to receive anything because of what they were doing. It has to come from your heart. You have to want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have to want to seek God. You have to want the benefits of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to have that kind of power in God, to have that kind of knowledge of the Word of the Scripture, because the Scriptures open up to you as never before. Like one of the brothers in the church today said, people are not supposed to bow after they sang a song. But they said, because you're not to bow down to man. You're not bowing down to man. All you're doing is just, you know, they're applauding and they're just saying thank you by a little bow. Or the girl can curtsy a little bit. But that's not really worshiping a man or anything like that. So, but, you know, that's what they'll learn those kind of things once they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, what else?
I believe that God wants me to have it.
Well, you're believing the right way there. Because he wants everyone to be endued with power. Now, nobody was pushing anybody in the upper room. There's 120 people up there praying for waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It says all they were doing was waiting. Amen?
Amen.
They were tarrying for it. I walked up into this shack behind this filling station that Sue and I were living in at the time. And I went up there and the radio was on. There was a brother, a guy from Angeles Temple, preaching the gospel. And this man was saying everything that I needed to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I just kept rising higher and higher up into the heavens. And I saw I had my eyes closed, and this golden molasses type, it looked like gold coming down from heaven. It's like that waterfall in Africa that's real thin, and it started cascading down, and I knew the minute that hit my head that I was going to be speaking in tongues and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when that happened, I was slain under the Holy Spirit, and the scriptures opened up as never before, and I had so much more zeal to serve the Lord after that. Okay, then what else? I thought I had all the zeal in the world, but it was even way more. Then what else? And I needed it because I've got a huge ministry. We're all over the world, folks, but I have to have the power from on high in order to keep up with this thing and all the crazy things that go on around me, not only here in this office or in everywhere in town and all over many towns in the United States and throughout the world. Every kind of thing, but we have to keep it. I want to keep the commandments because I want to show love. Okay? Some people think that attacking the house of God is love. That's the exact opposite. That's hatred. And if you're showing hatred, you're crazy. Okay? Then what?
I was in the prayer room with one of the guys that was pushing me to get the baptism, and he was getting annoying.
Yeah. Well, join the club, because when somebody tries to push me or interfere with my prayers, I get annoyed very fast, and thank God I'm the pastor. I tell him to get out of my face, okay? Get out of here. Then what else?
I said to him, don't push me to get the baptism anymore. I'll get it in my time when God is ready to give it to me.
You said the right thing, brother. Praise the Lord. Then what?
Then he said, okay, I'll let you pray with God by yourself then.
That's good. And tell him and everyone in the church, I pray they listen to this, don't you push people to receive the baptism. Go in. If they want you to pray with them, then do it. If they don't, keep away from them. Let them pray. Tell them let them hear this tape, the reason for receiving the baptism, and then go from there. Let them do it themselves. Then what?
Then he left the prayer room, and I felt kind of bad.
Well, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. You told him the right thing. What else?
I could feel God speaking to me. He said, you didn't have to say that.
Well, I think he did. I don't think that was the Lord. You know, a lot of times the devil imitates the Lord. That's what he does. He's a cheap imitation of the Lord. So you did right. Go ahead. Don't listen to that voice. Okay? Believe me, I know the voice of the Lord. Then what?
I sent them to you so that you may know that I want you to have the baptism.
Well, but you didn't get the baptism with him, so you know that wasn't the Lord. That was the devil. He just wants you to be packing a lot of those people around you, and then just be irritated all the time. That isn't the Lord. That's the devil. Okay, what else?
So,
and I would get in trouble with the Lord if I telling you that the Lord was the devil. I'd never do that, son. Amen. Okay, what else?
So unless that was my own head, which it probably wasn't.
Was your own head with the devil helping it? And then what else?
God wants me to have the baptism.
Yes, he does. Then what?
I have been having trouble getting it, though. I'm sure you have suggestions for me.
Well, yeah, I sought the baptism of the Holy Spirit for 3 years. And finally, there was all kinds of things happening. When I received it, there was a wreck. We were right parallel with the freeway. It was about 200 feet away, and there was a wreck there. People would fly model airplanes around me and everything. out around my house when I was seeking for all kinds of disturbances. Is that the end of the letter?
He has another question.
Okay, what else?
Also, what exactly does Jesus mean by what he said in John chapter 20, verse 23, "Whosoever's sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained."
That just means you got to tell people what sin is. If you don't tell them, then they're going to keep those sins. They're going to keep it going. That's the Lord tells us to rebuke, reprove, and to exhort people about what sin is. If you don't tell people what sin is, they're going to keep them. They're going to retain them. Amen?
Amen.
And whatever things you tell them, then what?
He just says, "I would like to meet you in person sometime. I know you are very busy. If you could respond, it would be well appreciated.
Well,
praise the Lord."
There's my response, and I pray everybody receives that. All right, well, we were going to read from the fifth chapter of Ephesians, but we'll try to do that manana. Okay, I see my time is up, and so right now is the time that all of you people that you want to reach the Lord, and right now you have to receive one thing at a time. Receive salvation first, then start reading the scriptures, then begin retaining everything, hide everything in your heart that you learn, so that you don't have to carry the Bible with you every minute of the day. And but start out by saying this prayer. Say, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that you, God, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my former filthy sins away in the precious blood you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." Now just praise and thank the Lord while Sharon is telling you how to receive a copy of this program, number 498.
Go to alamoministries.com. Or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, here's a bunch of sinners that we just saved. And they all wanted to sing and get a choir together and play instruments, and they wanted to back me up on this song called "I Believe." This is our own choir that we won to the Lord in our own instrumentation. "I Believe."
Cry or touch a leaf.